In conclusion, today, June 8th, should be a banner day that says enough. Government cannot afford to solve everyone's problems, and that is not what our forefathers intended. Please vote no.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Long.
My name is Charles Long. Our Creator fashioned mankind as male and female. Evidently, a few would usurp deity by trying to design their preferred gender. Neither the city council nor Portland taxpayers should be forced to be complicit in this abomination by bankrolling these who happen to be city employees. Their real need is not city-paid medical operations, but spiritual transformation. Anyone on this council would vote to implement this proposal deserves to be recalled at the earliest opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony, Mr. Long. Mr. Dixon.
Thank you. My name is Frank Dixon. Today I'm speaking as part of a Portland family of taxpayers. I just want to relate a personal experience about Ronnie Lang. She was the first trans person I really got to know. She was a supporter of mine in the Senate campaign, my state Senate campaign in 1996, and we included her on a picture that was sent out as a mailer to the voters on the west side of Portland, and I felt that was right. At the time, I really didn't understand the trans issue, and I thought it was something about appearance or, something about cosmetic changes. But what I did understand was Ronnie Lang showed an enormous amount of personal courage in living openly as a trans person at that time in Portland. She's passed away, but I also knew at the time that she showed that same courage in service to the country in the Korean War. And so today I wear my Army Reserve retired pin in her honor. We also know today that what we're talking about is a treatment that is medically necessary as determined by the American Medical Association. So I'd like to tell you what I believe this issue is really about. It's about the American value of equality. And so I say, let's live the values of our Constitution, equal treatment under the law. And I thank the mayor and the council for your support of this issue.
Thank you. Thank you all. The next three
are Bill Micton, Ray Kreider, and Promise King. And they'll be followed by Stephanie Janke, Heather Furcho, and Emily Newberry.
Welcome to the City Council. Please begin.
Thank you. Before I touch on the topic at hand, I just wanted to say I'm accusing you of ageism because they can't applaud for me because I'm old, okay? Two, my technology is from the 40s, and for the first portion of the hearings, especially when the middle school kids were here, I had a lot of trouble hearing, and then you turned up your PA system. So please be careful with that.
Points taken. But I still won't let them clap for you.
Yeah, I realize that. Okay, to the matter at hand. I have read one of these exclusionary insurance statements, and it is just appalling. The idea that it would be, and it is, it's the equivalent of saying, we will not give insurance to short people. You know, it is how you are born, being trans, being gay, being straight, and you're going to discriminate because someone is born a certain way. It is appalling. I wanted to also make a comment to the two people who were here just before me. One is, we are not a theocracy. Your religious beliefs are irrelevant to how our government runs. Two, we don't vote on people's rights. This is not what's going on. We are dealing with a problem where people are having their rights taken, and we are restoring them. Finally, what we should be doing in terms of the person from the benefits board is fighting for single payer, not eliminating people's coverage for supposedly financial reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Ray Kreider, And 4 years ago, thank you. 4 years ago, I started my transition. I was fortunate enough to be working for an employer who welcomed it with open arms. I wouldn't be the person I am today without the support I've gotten over the last 4 years from my family, friends, and coworkers. I'm not a City of Portland employee, but I want to share my experience of healthcare so you consider that with this ordinance in front of you. My workplace insurance policy, like most, excluded coverage from any and all transgender-related health benefits. Despite some steps forward toward providing inclusive care, our benefits still excluded surgical services. As it turns out, surgery coverage for me is preventative health care, and here's why. Part of my daily routine is chest binding, and it's a common practice. My gender presentation is also a personal safety issue, and if my gender presentation doesn't make sense to the people I meet, I could be put at risk for emotional or even physical harm. Binding is painful and awkward, but it's necessary. I cannot leave my house without it. However, it's creating health problems for me. I have been to the emergency room several times from chest pain and shortness of breath because the inflammation of the wall of my lung. The lack of access to surgery is a lose-lose proposition because the insurance companies are paying more for the trips to the emergency rooms that I have to take for not having this access. I work full-time, and in the last 6 days, I've worked every day. And after paying for rent, food, and bills, health care, I'm barely surviving. Surgery is $8,000, and unless I win the lottery, I really don't see a way of me getting it. So I will continue to work towards my goals, and I appreciate your time. Thank you for hearing us.
Thank you for your testimony. Promise.
For the record, my name is Promise King. I'm the executive director of Oregon League of Minority Voters. All of us who love the mosaic of this great city, all of us who believe in justice and liberty, all of us who share the common goal of civil rights, think that you're doing a great job. This is not about cost and benefit. This is about the sanctity of human life and respect for human dignity. So we cannot sidestep that as we talk about policy. Otherwise, we are entrenching the very fundamental core of our value, a value of extending liberty and freedom to all of us. So I urge you today to really look at this matter carefully and vote a sounding yes.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Next three
are Stephanie Janke, Heather Furcho, and Emily Newberry. And the last person who signed up is Adrian Walmark.
Stephanie, would you like to begin? Okay. Welcome. Glad you're all here.
I'm Stephanie Janke. I transitioned from presenting my sex to presenting my gender back in 2004. I'm here today to testify about the needs of trans healthcare. I deal with, on a daily basis, cutting my healthcare off. Right now, I fall under the radar. I do get my hormones paid for. I do get my medical checkups paid for. I go in every 6 months for blood work to make sure everything's working good. One of the things that's huge in the trans community that nobody has talked about to date is impacts, the cumulative impacts that this all has on us in the community. We have reportedly one of the highest suicide rates around. We approach somewhere in the vicinity of 33%. You put all these stresses together, and it's really difficult. You provide health care, you reduce one of those stressors in our lives, and you make our lives a little easier to get by on a daily basis. Thank you for allowing me to present. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Hi.
Hi. My name is Heather Furcho. I'm a research and health policy associate at Sisters of the Road. At Sisters, we believe that healthcare is a human right and are committed to working for comprehensive healthcare for all Oregonians. As you know, the American Medical Association has identified transgender health care as being medically necessary. Yet many transgender Oregonians are denied the ability to purchase health insurance. or are denied coverage for the basic medically necessary care solely because of their gender identity. Each time we deny the essential humanity and equality of transgender people, we place them at greater risk for discrimination, abuse, and adverse emotional, physical, and economic impacts caused by lack of access to appropriate, affordable health care. This would also address folks having continuum of care, which actually lowers overall health care costs and positively impacts health outcomes. We would like to thank you for bringing forth this proposal, supporting trans-inclusive health care for Portland City employees. This is a great step forward for the health and well-being of all people in our community. Trans-inclusive health benefit plans help public and private institutions attract more diverse and qualified pools of applicants and employees, and they help employees retain good workers.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Sorry. Really appreciate it. I'm not done yet. One more thing. Is that okay?
Please summarize.
Okay.
So a lot of people are waiting.
Each time another organization or institution creates trans-inclusive healthcare benefit plans, it makes it that much easier for others to follow suit. I'll stop there.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Hi.
Hi. Welcome. My name is Emily Pittman Newberry. I'm a local resident here in Portland and a taxpayer. And I transitioned several years ago. It was a wonderful, liberating experience. It's also been a spiritual path. It's brought me closer to God. At the same time, living with the ways in which the society denies our humanity creates depression and loss of self-respect, loss of relationships often. I've experienced all of these myself, including job discrimination. I'm not a city employee, but one thing I can tell you for sure is that every organization that takes a step toward recognizing us as human beings helps to lift that burden of living as who we are. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Really appreciate it.
The last person who signed up is Adrian Womark.
Adrian? Adrian here? There's Adrian. Anyone else wish to testify at this time that didn't sign up? Okay. Adrian, you get the last word.
My name is Dr. Adrian Womark, PhD, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I've been working with transgender clients across the United States for the past 2 decades. Currently, I work as Director of Counseling Services at the National College of Natural Medicine. Throughout my time as a mental health professional, I've consistently worked with transgender patients who are unable to access the care they needed because of insurance exclusions. When I began working with transgender people in the early 1990s, few medical resources existed. And even though there are more resources today, insurance policies have not caught up and continue to exclude critical care. Being denied access to this care has deep and negative impacts on my transgender clients. They experience suicidal ideation, depression, anxiety, and difficulties in every area of their lives. But when my clients have the care they need, they are more effective community members and employees. In 2008, the American Psychological Association resolved that transition-related care is medically necessary and ought to be covered by insurance. In their resolution, the APA Council of Representatives wrote, "APA recognizes the efficacy, benefit, and medical necessity of gender transition treatments for appropriately evaluated individuals and calls upon public and private insurers to cover these medically necessary treatments." With more than 154,000 members, the APA is the largest association of psychologists worldwide. Additionally, the National Association of Social Workers and the American Counseling Association has voiced support for transgender people. From 2 decades of professional experience to affirmation from large and well-respected associations, it's clear that healthcare for transgender people is medically necessary. I encourage you to support this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor, very much. Questions for Kathy or Yvonne? All right, would you please call the vote?
Fish?
I want to begin by thanking Mayor Adams for bringing this ordinance forward and our friends at Basic Rights Oregon for making a very compelling case for healthcare equity. I want to clear up a couple of facts which people may be confused about. The first is the Labor Management Benefit Committee, my understanding is, voted 7-5 to support this benefit. But they have a rule that requires a supermajority. So, in fact, there was a majority support, but not the supermajority. And I think that's important that that be in the public record. I also did some quick math during the testimony. And I took the $41 million which we spend on our city core plan, and I divided it by the $32,000 of benefit that we'd be adding. Yvonne, maybe I got this wrong, but it comes out in my math to 0.001% increase. Is that about right? 0.1%? So I think that underscores what a number of people testified, that the cost here really is trivial compared to the benefit. So I'm pleased to support this ordinance. The American Medical Association, for me, has resolved the question by deeming this a medically necessary procedure. Based on the briefings I've received, I've also concluded that surgery is not optional. It is actually an appropriate treatment. It seems to me that Multnomah County, San Francisco, Nike, Wells Fargo, Kraft Food have all settled that, the question of whether this is a mainstream benefit or not. It is also worth noting that we currently cover mental health services and hormone therapy. So what we're really doing is extending the benefit to include the surgical piece. $32,000 seems like a drop in the bucket to achieve inclusive health care. This city does not discriminate, and we do not make judgments about people's status. I believe today is a leadership moment. I believe the mayor is leading us effectively on this issue, and I am proud as a member of this community to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I believe, I think if I were to sum up what my public career is all about, it would be trying to make people happy. And not just voters when it comes to the election, but to really make every person in the city lead a happy and productive life. I mean, I think you can't ask for more and you can't aspire to any higher goal as a public servant. And I think that we, whether it's, you know, my career has been hallmarked by working with children who are abused and neglected, victims of domestic violence services, helping children in foster care to lead successful lives. And I think this will be one of my other proud legacies, and that is helping people to live the gender that they are in all aspects and manifestations. I think this is a small price to pay for fundamental helping people to lead happy lives. We heard several testimony about suicidal considerations, and I think it's time to end that and to provide the means necessary for people to become the gender they truly believe they are. So I, too, am proud to vote aye.
Leonard?
Well, I just had an aha moment. I've served with Dan on the city council now for 9 years, and have often tried to understand why he and I ever disagree, because we philosophically come from exactly the same place, and it is because he tries to make everybody happy, and I know I'm not going to make everybody happy when I get up in the morning.
Designed to.
So I'm going to go to bed more comfortable tonight, having resolved the conflict. And I would point out to Commissioner Fish that if his math is correct, 0.001% is not 0.1%, but 0.01%. So it's even 0.1% less than what you thought.
Corrected. I was looking for Yvonne for guidance.
He's a lawyer, not a mathematician.
Yvonne
was just being nice.
As Dan has heard me say more than anybody here, because he and I have served together my entire length of service on the council, what I really appreciate about serving on this body is not what I think the public often reads and views, but it's, you know, the public disagreements that we may have from time to time are often more, whether it was Vera as mayor or Tom Potter as mayor or Sam as mayor, oftentimes more disagreements of style than they are substance, and this is another example of that. I served in the Oregon legislature for over 9 years, and it was not that way. We would have discussions like this where people truly said mean-spirited things on the other side. That absolutely doesn't happen here, and I think it's partly because of who we are as people, but mostly because Portlanders expect that of the people they elect, not just on the city council, but to the Multnomah County Commission and to the state legislature. And thus you will find, I think, more so than in most locales, a city council that is empathetic with the plight of others. And I would also be remiss in pointing in not pointing out, although it's been alluded to a couple times, the other time that the City Council did not follow the recommendation of the Labor Management Benefits Committee. And that was back in 2005. And I actually brought forward the ordinance that was that overrode their recommendation. The Portland Police Association, which is not Commander Benson's association, he's the Police Command Association, but the Portland Police Association, which represents police officers, sergeants, detectives, criminologists, anybody other than who Dave Benson does not represent, were in contract negotiations. Their contract expired, and they were trying to get a different health benefit plan. The money needed to fund their health benefits was to come from the reserve fund controlled by the Labor Management Benefits Committee. They voted not to allow the Portland Police Association to have access for their for their premiums as of July 1st, 2005, thus leaving police officers in Portland without health coverage. I was lobbied heavily by all the unions in the city to agree with the position of the Labor Management Benefits Committee. But then, like now, it wasn't the right thing to do. I mean, at the end of the day, when people present me with facts and figures, it doesn't override what my heart tells me is the right thing to do, and I could not in good conscience allow the city's police officers to go without health coverage, and I don't feel any different about this issue today. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you all for being here today. For the record, that both chambers are standing room only, and it's really great that you took the time out of your busy schedules to come here on a Wednesday morning in support of this. And thank you also for not all testifying. That made things go... because I think we did have a very good representation. And thank you to Gina Frazzini for your leadership on the Basic Rights Oregon. And yeah, lots of waving hands there, because we certainly appreciate all of your work. And I, in particular, am guided by your leadership, and I appreciate all the way you do things as well as what you do things. It's important to note this ordinance also expands coverage for the kinds of mental health providers for all situations, not only for transgender care, and that's a benefit which is cost neutral, so it has received less attention. However, two other benefits were considered by the Labor Management Benefit Committee and rejected as too expensive. One was for temporomandibular joint disorders, and one was for orthotics. And those were much more expensive than what we're approving here today. So the Labor Management Benefit Committee I agree with Commander Benson that it's an amazing committee where people are so diligent about looking at costs and benefits. So the cost of this is $32,000. And what was mentioned in testimony is that the suicide rate for transgender people is 33%. It seems to me that $32,000 is pretty cost efficient in saving a life. And more than that, it's the right thing to do. And I appreciate living in a city and serving on a city council where we look at what is the right thing to do. I thank Mayor Adams for your leadership on this. You're doing this because it's the right thing. It may not be politically popular, but it's absolutely what we need to do today. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Clay Neal, Jennifer Yoakum, and Warren Jimenez, and Amy Rees, and Karen Brooks on my staff, who've all worked on this issue over the past 2.5 years. Again, to our community partner, Basic Rights Oregon, to the trans community of Portland, who each and every day make this city a better place. And it's really my honor and privilege to serve on a city council where we can bring an ounce of fairness in return. When I put down this gavel, you can clap and cheer. Aye. It's clear. And I have a previously scheduled excuse, so I'll turn it over to President.
You have two. You have one.
Fourth-fifths agenda item.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Great.
We should announce that at the beginning. Yes, we will start doing that.
You rock.
Thanks.
You did a good job with your testimony, Bill. Thanks. You were unusually eloquent. You're exceptionally eloquent today. Hey, Randy, we're not going to have a four votes for the emergency. Dan's leaving, and Sam.
Is he leaving now?
Well, yeah, he wants to go to the junior parade. So.
But we could do them right now.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? That first one right now. We can grab Sam just for the vote.
Yeah, we only need four for an emergency.
Yeah. So I don't think we're going to have much of a presentation on 580. Well, actually, this is the one we may have testimony.
Did Dan leave now?
We may not get an emergency. We may have to strip it and take a vote next week.
Yeah, can we do it with, do we need?
We do consent.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for your testimony. It was really good of you to turn up.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Inspired of that. See ya.
All right.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. So the council will come to order. If I could have people that are talking move outside, please.
Hey, Dean, keep it short.
Carla, could you read item 580?
Item 580, authorized settlement agreement with Mary S. Shaver for the purchase of property necessary for construction of the Fano Basin Pump Station Expansion Project number E09051 and authorized payment.
And then we had an item pulled from consent that is complementary to this item. What was that item?
572.
572.
Yeah.
Could you also read 572, Carla? Yes.
572, authorize a contract with Brown and Caldwell, Inc. for professional services for the final design of the Fano Basin Pump Station Expansion and Surge Protection Project, number E09051.
Thank you. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before us is the authorization to purchase some property from Mary Shaver, the authorized the Bureau of Environmental Services to purchase property. This property, by function of nothing more complicated than geography and the fact that the flow from the West Hills of our city flows downhill westward, and in order for us to capture this stormwater and sewage and to pump it and return it to City of Portland facilities for further treatment and ultimate putting it back into the rivers and streams. We need this property, which is pretty much almost adjacent to where we currently have a pump station. We need this second pump station to handle the increasing flow of stormwater as our environment becomes more pervious. We make a lot of efforts to support impervious surfaces, things that will allow water to trickle into the ground naturally, but nevertheless, roads, streets, roofs still wash a lot of stormwater into the public system, as well as sewage. And so this is why we have zeroed in on Ms. Shaver's property and why we are asking council to support the purchase price today to allow us to move ahead with our managing sewer and stormwater in a responsible, cost-effective manner. I'll turn it over to Dean Marriott if he has a few words to say.
I do. I just thank you, Commissioner. Dean Marriott, Environmental Services.
Director, with me on my right is Scott Gibson, our head of design services, and Eric Schaffner from the city attorney's office, who's been helpful to us in during the negotiations for this. I think, as Commissioner Saltzman said, it's been a long road to get here. We decommissioned five obsolete pump stations over a decade ago to build the Fano pump station. It has proven to be in need of upgrade as far as the capacity goes. This would be an upgrade to allow us to convey all of the wet weather flow back to Portland. We looked at a number of options to solve this problem. We did not initially go to a neighbor and say, we want your property. We exhausted a look at options, including sending the flow down to Clean Water Services for treatment. We looked at neighboring properties in the area. We looked at properties for an alternative pump station location, even a mile and a half away. All of those proved to be impractical or more expensive or both. So where we ended up was looking at the adjacent property to build a supplementary pump station. So we think we have exhausted the look at the options and alternatives. We have spent some time negotiating a price with a longtime resident who initially did not want to sell for understandable reasons. We think this is a fair price. I was asked the other day, boy, you're paying a lot of money for a house. And I explained that we're not intending to use it as a house. We're intending to use it as a pump station location. So it has, considering the project is going to cost about $20 million to build, acquiring the right site is, I think, a sensible measure for us to do. So with that, Commissioner, unless you have any questions of me or of my colleagues, I'll turn it back to you.
Any questions from Council?
I have a question. What happens if Washington County doesn't approve the new site for the pump station?
Well, we're very optimistic. As you know, Commissioner Fritz, early last year, Washington County hearings officer ruled against our land use application for building on the site that is currently occupied by the pump station because it's in the floodplain. So we have learned from that experience, and Ms. Shaver's property, at least a portion of which we will build a pump station, is outside the floodplain. We think we've cured that problem, so we don't expect to have to face that decision. If for some reason something unforeseen happened, we would be happy to sell the property back to Ms. Shaver.
So we're buying it before we know whether we have the permit?
Yes.
And do we know if she's willing to have it back and give us all our money back if we don't get those permits?
That is part of the provision, is she has the first option to buy it back.
But then if we're spending more than the appraised value, so it's not like it's contingent sale, contingent on getting the permits?
No, that was, without taking a lot of time to go into all of the negotiations, I mean, one of the things that was considered was to acquire an option, but this was considered to be the best approach.
Why?
Well, because the option agreement would have cost us more money. The execution of the total option of making her wait for during the uncertain period of time while Washington County made its decision.
But the contract doesn't have in it that she will give us back the money and take back the house for the same cost if we don't get the permit. Could we get something like that in the contract?
Eric, do you remember what's in there?
It is not a straight exchange for the same amount of money. It is she has a right of first refusal on the subsequent sale of the property. So there is a potential there for some monetary loss if the property has to be resold after if the application is ultimately denied.
Well, as a longtime Southwest resident, I know that there's been a series of good-hearted and well-researched decisions on this project, which then have had some unfortunate outcomes that have cost the ratepayers a lot of money. So I'm a little extra concern on this particular piece of it, in that there has been organized opposition, which was part of what got the previous permit application denied. even though I thought we may have had a good case for that application. I'm wondering why this is an emergency ordinance as well, as to whether there could be something in there that gives some more safeguards for the ratepayers, should the permit not be allocated for this property.
Well, Commissioner, not without reopening the negotiations with the property owner. It's taken almost a year to get to where we are, and I was personally involved because it is of such importance to the agency. Right now, during wet weather conditions, we are sending wet weather flow to Clean Water Services, which greatly taxes their system. We actually have a standby pump there in case if they are overwhelmed, then we will pump raw sewage into Fano Creek. So it's not a situation that we're comfortable with. We would like to get on with building the facility and getting this issue resolved.
Yeah, I would just like to add, Commissioner Fritz, that this has been a while in coming, and I asked many of the same questions, and I think at one point or another we explored all the options that you're suggesting. I think we landed on this option because I think, as Dean said, it was ultimately less expensive to do this than to build in other options.
Further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Any public testimony?
We have two people signed up, Michael Lilly and Jeffrey Gottfried.
Please come forward.
Good morning. My name is Mike.
One second. You each have 3 minutes, and just identify yourself and welcome. Thank you.
My name is Mike Lilly. I am a neighbor to the area where you're considering purchasing. I've lived there for a long time, hope to live there for a longer time, but this is a problem for us. And when you say, Commissioner Fritz, that you have organized opposition, that understates it. We kicked you around quite a lot at the last hearing, and I will do my very best to do it again. I won't predict victory because I'm not that arrogant, but I will tell you that my very best is pretty good. I'm a lawyer, I'm representing myself, and I have a mission. I've sent you a letter. I hope that you read the decision of the county hearings officer. If you haven't yet, you should. Thank you.
I'm Jeffrey Gottfried. I live 100 yards from the existing pump station. 6 years ago, I said to Bureau of Environmental Services, sewage flows downhill. Why is the city that works choosing to pump sewage from unincorporated Washington County to North Portland using fossil fuels? Think of the carbon footprint for the future. Maybe 6 years ago that might have been acceptable, but at this point in time, it's unthinkable that the city of Portland would choose not to use gravity and would pump sewage from our neighborhood to North Portland. I am personally incensed. I am very angry because our neighborhood is bearing the brunt. We have no representatives up there. The second largest pump station in the city of Portland is being built in unincorporated Washington County, where we have no voice. Now, luckily, our hearings officers have judged in our favor. But listen to this. We've had numbers of people who've moved out of the neighborhood because of this pump station, sold their house at a far lower price because of the impending pump station. We've had our homes have the heat in the foundation. We've had cracked foundations as a result of the vibration of the pump station. I personally found the leak in the pipe. So just 6 years ago, the first pump station was built, and within 2 years, it failed because the wrong pipe was put in. This is a question in it. When we look at a project like that, are we saying, are you doing things right? Are you doing the right things? Bureau of Environmental Services has not done the right thing, and they haven't done it well. Their lack of oversight caused the failure of this first project. After 6 years of the revegetation of the Fano Creek Trail, they had to dig the whole thing up, not just the Fano Creek Trail, all of Multnomah Boulevard, because they put in the wrong pipe. They put in the wrong kind of pipe, and for days, sewage was flowing into Fano Creek. I say, let's not throw good money after bad. For the last 2 years, the sewage has been going to Washington County as needed. Now, Bureau of Environmental Services says this is not in the interest of our ratepayers. Well, it's in our interest, and we live there. And the reason they don't want to do this is because the Bureau of Environmental Services needs to clean the sewage to a higher standard than the city of Portland does, because it goes into the Tualatin River and not Portland. Is anyone looking at the long-term cost of the power needed to pump the sewage uphill versus using gravity? You know, you're talking about doing the right thing. You know, we're people too. We're not. My address is Portland. I'm 3 blocks from Portland. I think there's no coincidence that this is being built in our neighborhood and not in the city of Portland, because you'd be just inundated with people from your constituents here if it was.
Thank you. Dean, do you want to respond to any of that?
I'd like to ask a couple of questions to follow up.
I'm back.
Thank you. So why are we choosing to pump rather than use gravity and contract with Clean Water Services?
That's a good question, and that was clearly one of the options we looked at first. We looked at that first over 10 years ago before we even built the Fano pump station. There were so many improvements and upgrades that would be required in the Clean Water Services conveyance system to get this flow to their treatment works that we would end up having to pay them for all the capital upgrades to their system. Again, it was cost-benefit analysis. It was pretty clear in our minds, and actually Clean Water Services concurs with this recommendation to go the way we're going. So that was thoroughly evaluated.
And why are we building in unincorporated Washington County rather than putting a new pump station in Portland?
Well, as Commissioner Saltzman alluded to, it's really a question of geography and topography. When we took the other 5 pump stations offline, this is the location at which all those flows could be converged and then sent back to Portland for treatment.
And this is the is this the last step? And I know living in Southwest, we seem like we've been doing things in Multnomah Boulevard for quite some time, and I know we've had several contracts come through here. Is this the last piece of the project?
Yes, the building of this wet weather pump station. There may be some work done on the eastern end of Multnomah Boulevard, east of Multnomah Village, but once we're done with the cleanup work and all on the area that we've disturbed, we should be done.
And my last question, we did recapture some of the investment from the company that we contracted with for the pipes that failed. Is that?
Yes, it was litigation against several companies.
And how much did we get back? Do you remember?
I actually don't recall off the top of my head. No.
Thank you.
Further questions? Carla, please call the roll on 572.
Actually, we have an amendment for this.
Okay.
We're adding the exhibit, the agreement of purchase and sale.
I would move that amendment.
Second.
The amendment, has it been distributed?
It was in the Tuesday memo.
It was in the Tuesday memo.
I see it here. Okay. It's been moved. Yes.
The amendment is to 580. If you're voting on 572.
We're doing 572 first. Yeah. Actually, 572 moves to a second reading. So 580, we will vote on now.
Just point of order, are we? Is the amendment to 572 or to 580?
580.
Excuse me, okay. So
moved and seconded. Any discussion on the amendment? If not, Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
I would just point out this was simply that we omitted to include the bargain and sale agreement in the original filing. Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Please call the roll on 580 as amended.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
I am concerned about the issue of whether we will be able to get permits for this and about the lack of the option rather than moving forward. I have to defer to the commissioner in charge of the Bureau that though, and your diligence in investigating all of that, and also the fact that if I were to vote no, all it would do is to delay it rather than to change the outcome. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. 580 to adopt. Please read please call the roll on 581.
581, authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to execute a sublease agreement and permit of entry with TriMet for property lease from the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, including an indemnification from the city to TriMet.
Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye. If there's no objection, I'd like to move the 4/5 agenda item 581-1 to this afternoon. And I want to confirm, Commissioner Saltzman, you'll be here this afternoon because I will not.
I will be arriving late.
Okay.
But, yeah, I will be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll have the four votes.
You'll be arriving late. And, Commissioner, you will not be here?
No.
So, Dan, we scheduled this to be tight, because people don't like it to go late. So if you're arriving late, we may not actually have a quorum.
Is this the appointment of Scott Andrews?
No, these are two tax abatements.
The 4/5 is. The 4/5 is. And I misspoke. Oh. That doesn't need four. That only needs three. Yeah. The 4/5. I'm sorry.
So hopefully, because we've got two tax abatements and then.
No, I'm hoping to be back here between 2:15 and 2:30. And I think we start at 2. So.
Okay. And is Mayor Adams, hopefully Mayor Adams is planning.
I believe he'll be here.
Okay.
The council stands in recess until 2 p.m.
Thank you. Thanks, Mom.
They were just misreading them. No. They send it to me in the mail as well. Thank you.
it's getting a little crowded over here.
Boy, I'll play. Could you see?
I figure less questions come my way if they can't.
If I can't see the questions, I gotta do that, right?
Well, it is funny. I don't know if they just prefer this. I think it's because the connections are all over here.
Yeah, but, and my I have them too, but because that little desk is pushed up against it, they're hard to reach.
Oh.
And I don't like, I think security doesn't like them. They want to leave one path open to get counsel out in case of something. So
well,
they
I've heard them talk about, you know, don't be up here on the raised portion.
Yeah, but I think they still let them come right.
But they, right yeah, they park themselves right here for sure. I would think that security would think, well, that's just another intermittent